sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Great day today. Great weekend. A lot of people will be preparing to go to school, and a lot of you are going to be out looking at houses.
It is that time of the year where school buses are being seen on the road again. My wife, who is a school teacher, went back. She's in the Edmond School, so the kids come this next week.
Oh, okay.
And, and I won't see her for a good 2 months now.
So, yeah, this there year, you go.
Yep. First of the year.
You're lucky.
I did not say that. That was our guest, Tim Fain, getting me in trouble. I appreciate that, Tim. Thank you so much.
Well, we do have a guest today, Tim Fain, from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning and More. Because the name of your company, Tim, frankly, only describes a little bit about what you do, right?
It does. But it gets a little bit long-winded when you try to keep adding everything. So.
Yeah. So, well, Exceptional Carpet Cleaning and More. There you go.
It's a great show for you, listener, to call in. The number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. Because if you have a stain in your carpet or your upholstery, you also do upholstery or tile. We're going to talk tile because I had a client this week that you helped out with tile that was just a huge, huge win. And what am I missing else? I mean, other floor care.
Wood floors, luxury vinyl. We do odor removal. All kinds of things.
We will have that little stinky segment coming up.
So that number to call in is 840-1000.
Okay. We are going to get to your questions when you call, because and some of you email questions, and that's great. Just Becky@BeckyIvins.com, and we will answer your questions. Tim, let's start off with just basic carpet cleaning.
Okay.
What's the best way just to clean carpet? Is it that dry stuff? Is it steam? Soap suds? What is it?
Well, there's all different methods to clean carpet. And as we know, everybody says that their method is the best. We use virtually every method available on the market, from, you know, dry foam cleaning to bonnet cleaning to hot water extraction, which most people call steam cleaning. But I'll tell you that in residential setting, about 90% of the carpet manufacturers recommend hot water extraction, which is a steam cleaning, above anything else. And a steam cleaning is a little bit different than renting the little the little machine at the drugstore or your home machine, because you're only using moderately warm water when you're putting it down with those rug doctors and that type of thing, which kind of cuts out the sanitation benefit that you get from high heat, and you can't rinse very thoroughly, so you wind up leaving a lot of soap in the carpet or the carpet way too wet. But primarily we use hot water extraction for a residential setting, which is steam cleaning.
It really looks gross when you extract that water, right?
It does.
Almost like mud pies sometimes.
It does. And we have external filters that have collect all of the mud and the hair and the lint and all of the different things that we don't want to go through our equipment on the truck that we have to empty out after every day, and it's just full of stuff.
Ever find any diamonds or anything like that?
We don't, but the truth is I'm not overzealous in trying to dig through the gunk to see if there's something.
So what is bonnet cleaning? Did you say bonnet?
Right. Some of your low moisture people unload what looks like a floor buffer. In their situation, many times it is a floor buffer. They put a cotton bonnet on it. They spray either a soapless cleaner or an encapsulating cleaner down, and then they use the bonnet to collect the dust or the dirt off the top ends of the fiber. We use that, but in mostly commercial settings where you want it to dry really, really quick and you don't have real heavy traffic, just foot traffic, that type of thing, and you're looking more for a maintenance type thing. So we'll do that, but we actually use an oscillating pad machine that instead of a floor buffer that swings side to side, it actually rotates in an oval so that you get a much better scrub. It actually scrubs in six different directions that way, as opposed as a, you know, but the problem with you get that is when your fibers are cut, a cut loop that's common in a residential setting, you run the risk of what we call tip blooming or fiber distortion, where those fibers can become untwisted. So if your person isn't moving the machine really quick, or if they're using the swing machine that goes side to side, can actually damage your carpet. And that's the reason why manufacturers of carpet do not like that method.
Do you know, you have been to many homes that I have sold. You've been to my home many times. The thing that I always am amazed about is the fact that so you will walk in and say, well, I can clean this, but this room over here has a lot of wear. Mm-hmm. To me, it just looks like dirt.
Right.
So how do you tell the difference in carpet wear that you cannot fix or cleaning?
Okay. There's two ways that I like to do that. Number one, I look for fiber distortion. Look at what your carpet fiber look like outside of the traffic lane areas, behind a door, someplace that people do not walk. Take a close look at what that fiber looks like. Then go to those traffic lane areas and look at closely to those fibers. What you'll find, a lot of times you get a grayish cast or a darker cast, especially in a longer cut loop fiber like a frigée, what we call shag. The longer the fiber, the easier it is to become untwisted. So if you look real close at that, you'll see those fibers start to open up, become real fuzzy looking, laying over to one side or another rather than standing up straight. It's not reflecting light back to your eye properly. The second thing that I look for is if you can look at a carpet from one direction and it looks exponentially better than it does from another direction, dirt doesn't show up that way. If you spill mustard on your shirt, it's mustard on your shirt, whether I'm looking at it from one side or another side. But wear or carpet distortion, fiber distortion, will change. It will look lighter from one direction than another. That's when you realize that what I'm seeing here is wear. Now, we can oftentimes improve that just by removing any embedded soil and lighten it, but I always tell my customers, you're also going to be removing soil from the rest of the carpet, so it's going to lighten. So in a contrast, there's still going to be a stark contrast between the two.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about with Tim, and one thing is those nasty grout lines in your shower or on your kitchen floor, and what are we going to do about those?
When we come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here talking with Tim Fain with Exceptional Floor Care Service, and he does not only carpet, but tile. And so, Tim, I want to talk about tile.
Okay.
Does it depend on what kind of tile it is that you would do the different, or is it basically if it's tile, you're going to fancy mop it or however you do it.
It can depend on tile because we make tile out of so many different things right now. Really, most of the time, it's either stone, porcelain, or ceramic. And porcelain and ceramic are pretty much interchangeable. Process is pretty similar. Stone, you have to watch different stones. You can't use certain products on or you'll etch them or damage them, where it takes, you know, very restorative processes to fix. But yeah, we clean all of that.
And so is it the tile that's really the problem or is it usually the grout lines?
Most of the time it's the grout lines. And the reason why is on a ceramic or a porcelain, it has a glazed finish or a baked finish on it. And so it doesn't absorb a lot of soil. The rougher the surface of that ceramic or porcelain tile, it can get in the pits or the, you know, in the grooves of the texture on the tile itself. And that will oftentimes need to be cleaned. And but they're clean kind of the same time. I get a lot of people say, oh, I see you cleaning the tile. What about the grout lines? We clean it all at the same time. It's just you have to get down a little closer to see the grout actually getting cleaned. Now, on stone, stone is absorbent. It, you know, it will collect the dirty mop water. It sinks down into it. And so with stone, you're oftentimes, you know, it's as bad on the stone as it is in the grout line because it's stone, just like the sand portion in the grout that causes it to absorb moisture. The stone, soft stones, mostly what we use, marble and travertine and that type of thing, it's absorbent too, and it'll absorb the dirty mop water. And
so do you water extract to get that out? What do you do?
Yeah, we put a cleaner on, and it seems kind of like magic when you watch our videos, but what we actually do is we put on a strong cleaner that's appropriate for the floor that we're cleaning. We let that soak in and dwell. We'll use stiff brushes on poles in stubborn areas of grout lines and that type of thing that need to extra help. Try to break that surface tension of that soil that's in that grout liner and the tile. And then we have high-pressure equipment. We turn it up to about 1,300 pounds per square inch at 235-degree hot water, and we blast it away and suck that water and the old dirt back out to our truck and leave your tile sparkling fresh.
Do you seal it after you do that?
We offer that. We offer a clear seal. If people choose to have a seal put on, I tell people most floors are tile and grout is not sealed because when the person lays it, they have to wait 48 to 72 hours for it to cure before they can put a sealer on. Well, those contractors are on to the next home. It doesn't matter how expensive that home was. They're not going to seal it. Now, what I do see is that homeowners try to take a color seal, looks like paint, and recolor their grout lines when they get dirty. And a lot of times our cleaning starts to reveal that because it's stuck on top of dirty grout line and it just peels off in places. And that's a real no-no. You don't want to open Pandora's box with that. But clear seal, as long as you take care of a clear seal, once it's clean, put a clear seal on it. And don't use harsh cleaners, high pH, or even acidic pH cleaners. Just use something more neutral on it. A clear seal will last about 3 to 5 years. Creates a protective barrier between the absorbent part of your grout and the dirt that you're mopping off.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so tile, how about shower tile that's moldy?
Shower tile, and now I tell people on mold, most of the time you've got a water issue there, and when you start getting moisture behind the grout or behind the caulking, you'll start having mold and mildew start to grow out from behind. And I usually discourage people from doing anything but removing that caulking or that grout, dry it out, and then re-caulk or re-grout those areas, because I don't want people to pay me to go in and clean, remove it, and 2 weeks later it's grown back. So usually that's an indicator that there's a moisture issue somewhere, and that usually means that your caulk or your grout has a crack in it, one of your tiles does, and there's moisture seeping back behind and it's sitting in there. Now, that's not always the case, but it's oftentimes an indicator that it really needs to be fixed.
So when you have the grout becomes porous over time, right?
Well, sanded grout is porous. It's okay. Always porous. But caulking is not, and silicone is not. It's more of a rubber type substance, and it's not porous, but you can, as it weathers and ages, it can dry out, start to crack, and then that allows moisture to get back behind it. And once you start getting that mold growing out from through that, it's contaminated. You need to dig it out, clean that out, bleach it, kill any mold that's in there, and then re-caulk.
And, you know, the funny part about that is that's not a real expensive process.
It is not. And it's not rocket science. It's something that a lot of people can do themselves with a little bit of elbow grease. I always tell people, yeah, you could pay me to do it, but why pay my rates to do something that, you know, that anybody can do?
Yeah. But then when you dig out the old sand grout, mm-hmm. when you replace it, usually... Well, if you know about the new products, mm-hmm. you replace it with the new products, right. which are mold resistant right. to start with. And they are, it's a grout, but it's more like a silicone, isn't it, that right. they put in there?
Yeah, it's a blend that they put in there. It'll still have some absorbency, but not like the old stuff did. But the key on that is once you can use a little grout blade and just cut out that old grout. But when you do that, take a hair dryer, dry all that out good. I tell people take some good strong bleach in there to kill anything that could be growing. Let it set for quite a while, dry everything out, and then the next day go in and lay your new grout in.
So is there any kind of a tile issue that you would advise a homeowner, don't do that yourself. You need to call a professional to do this, because you really encourage people to take care of their own homes.
Sure.
And people, if you're listening and you're wondering, why are we having a cleaning show? Well, it's hard to sell a dirty house. Yeah. So
the great thing about tile is it's pretty hard to mess up. And so really there's nothing, if you're kind of handy, there's really nothing except you can't own the $100,000 piece of equipment that that we clean your floor with. Every couple, 3 years, your tile and grout needs to be professionally cleaned, because you're never going to get, you know, it clean the way we do unless you're on your hands and knees with brushes and scrubs and, you know, all kinds of, you know, strong chemicals. That's not really a good idea. It doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. But outside of that, most anything on tile and grout people can do. Now on stone, different thing, because it's a little more sensitive. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can mess it up permanently. Carpet and wood floors, same thing. If you don't know what you're doing, you can really mess it up. But tiles, pretty resistant about anything you can do to it.
That's good.
If you want to see Tim's before and after pictures and some of his videos, it's on his Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. You'll see Exceptional Floor Care right there in the middle of Becky's favorites. And that link will take you to his Facebook page, or open up Facebook and just put in Exceptional Floor Care, and it'll pop up here in Oklahoma City. You have some great, like, before and after pictures there.
There's videos, you know, that are in there, and before and after pictures of all the different services that we do. We try to show people what kind of results that we can often get.
Yeah. You know, there's something almost like meditative of watching a cleaning process. Like there's, do you feel that way when you're cleaning?
You know, it's the reason why I stuck with this industry. 19 years ago, I really thought that I'd be hiring young people to go in and do once I got it started. And I've stuck with it because I'm good at it and I really enjoy it. So it's therapeutic, and I hear that all the time.
Becky said it's really hard to sell a dirty house. What is exceptionally hard is selling a smelly house. And we're going to be talking about how to get rid of those smells when we come back here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team here with Becky Ivins. And our special guest is Tim Fain with Exceptional Floor Care. And the number to call in to ask your questions, 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. It's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Ozone.
Ozone.
Ozone. Well, it's a colorless, unstable, toxic gas with a pungent odor and powerful oxidizing properties. And it's formed from when oxygen is electrically charged or an ultraviolet light. Tim, you're going to have to describe all this. But it basically, instead of O2, it's O3. So there's three oxygen molecules. Can you do a better job of describing that?
Oh, in some ways, you know, I'm no scientist unless it pertains to what I deal with. But basically, what ozone does, and the reason why we use ozone on certain odors, like I use it on skunk odor. If somebody has a skunk odor has gotten throughout a home and cleaning itself won't fix it, I'll do smoke odors when it's most often used to cannabis or cigarette smoke, that type of thing. But what it actually does is, you know, there's different methods. Machines work in different ways to do this, but it electrically charges the air that's in the house, and it adds a third oxygen molecule to the or atom to the equation. And what that does is takes out or replaces the air that's in your home with pure ozone. And it says a pungent odor. It has kind of a chlorine smell, a little bit like you've got an indoor pool or hot tub in your house, basically what it does. But I like to think of it as scrubbing your air. It basically scrubs your air and replaces odor-containing molecules with ones that don't. It cleans it, like bleaching your air, so to speak. And so they make home units that do that, and they put out very low amounts, and you'll kind of smell this. When I walk in a home, I'll smell, hey, are you running ozone in here? Yeah, it's just a little, you know, tiny machine, that type of thing. And then we run commercial ozone machines that you cannot breathe. I have to tell people, when we put this in, it needs to stay in for 3 days. Put a note on the door, lock the door, no pets, no plants, no people in the house during that time because it's not life-supporting. It's not good
to
breathe.
Think more oxygen the better.
One would think, but ozone is not life-supporting, and it actually does damage to your tissues. It will damage your lungs, damage your eyes. If you're you want to make sure that it dies out. Now, the good thing is it has a half-life, and so once you burp the area, so to speak, flush it out with regular air, you can then go in and breathe it, but you do not want to breathe pure ozone because it's not life supporting.
So you mentioned cannabis. Mm-hmm. I know that we've had a house that stunk so bad we couldn't sell it, mm-hmm. because of the cannabis smell, which, by the way, was a tenant residing there, goodness. That used the study to grow weed, right. basically. And it did not smell good when you walked in.
Right. You know, and that especially cannabis has a stickiness, you know, into that smoke, as cigarette does too. But you have to remove the source of that odor. It's best to remove the source first. It's like you don't spray Febreze around your trash can and not take your trash out. Take your trash out first, and then let's deal with the odor that's left. So I always tell people, you got to get it cleaned. You got to, you know, wash those walls and cabinets down in smoke odors and that type of thing. Then the porous things, the things that have oxygen to them in fabric or even sheetrock, that type of thing, then go in with ozone and eradicate the odor. Because if you don't do it that way, if you don't remove the source of the odor, just like if you don't take your trash out, what's going to happen? It's just going to get worse. It's new bacteria grows. The odor gets worse and worse and worse. And all you're doing is trying to cover it up. So number one rule in any odor removal is always remove the source of the odor. Then we can deal with the remnants that are left over.
So tell the teenage boy just to go sleep in the garage.
Yeah. Take those dirty gym socks and throw them in the washer and then spray your Febreze, you know. But, you know, people always tend to get that backwards, you know. I said, you never let your dog poop in the floor and squirt perfume on it, but you would pick that up and flush it or dispose of it and then, you know, do something to eradicate that odor. But, you know, people don't always see it that way.
What?
Odors are so interesting because they're so personal. Like
that's
one,
right.
What smells horrible to one person may smell delightful to another. Right. There's few things that we all agree smell absolutely horrible.
And the detection part of it, our olfactory systems are so personal.
Yeah.
You'll have somebody that can smell, you know, something, you know, 100 yards away and somebody else that can't smell it when it's right under their nose. And if you're living in a home, you get what we call nose blind. You don't understand, you know, how it smells. Oftentimes you have to leave, come back after several days and then you're like, oh wow. Yeah. I smell that. But yeah, in fact, women have 85% keener sense of smell than most men do. And so women oftentimes smell things much stronger, much quicker than what a man can do. But there's really no meters that detect smells, you know. So we have to look for things like moisture, which is a cause of odor and that type of thing. Look under black lights and try to use methods like that to detect what could be causing the odor.
I think it's scientifically proven that men are 85% more stinkier than women.
Yeah.
that's a proven fact.
Did a woman come up with that study? Or
I've just been told. I just do what I'm told with that. You know, you mentioned Febreze, which Febreze to me is one of the most interesting stories as far as how it came about. It was when it was created, it was neutral, like they created this neutral and it didn't sell. And almost went out of business until they put a scent into it. And then it started to sell. And then they started to resell the neutral back. Yeah. Because how do you deal with a person that says, you know, like, I don't smell the difference?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we used to have a large house cleaning company. And we went to products that were all green and had no odor. And we got more complaints than ever. And people could not point to what we had missed or what we hadn't cleaned. It was just what didn't feel clean. As soon as we added a lemon-scented oil to that cleaner. Now that's better. And that's something that I take in consideration when I'm choosing cleaning products for someone's home. It has to clean, smell clean and fresh, because that's 90% of it, you know, especially in a woman's mind. They want their home to smell nice and clean, and for people to know that it's clean, and they associate things like lemon or pine or that type of thing as a clean smell.
Yeah, that's the worst is when, for me, when you walk in and you smell that pine smell. Yeah. Well, you know the cleaner's been there, but it's not
ammonia.
Yeah. But that's not the smell I want to smell. And I do. Citrus is a great smell for most everybody. Yeah. So
I'm really careful that if somebody's very sensitive on chemically sensitive or sensitive to fragrances, I have complete fragrance-free products that I'll use for specifically for them, just to avoid any problem in their home. But most women, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Oh man, it smells so nice. Smells so much better." So, but it's a personal thing. Everybody likes something different.
Well, to me, one of the worst smells is when it's too flowery. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that stuff it's almost like powder you dust onto a carpet, let it sit there a few minutes, and then vacuum it up.
Yeah. Some of it up,
yeah. And what's left in there is pretty sticky.
Yes, right? It is, and it can create more issues.
Yeah, but scented candles are not really your friend when you are trying to sell your house. Now, if you get a citrus-smelling candle, perhaps, but don't overwhelm people with the smell. Smell's a real deal.
I tell people the more plug-ins there are in a room when you're going to look at a house someone's selling, the bigger the potential problem is. So ask them to unplug all of those and come back and see it another time with all of those unplugged.
How about pet smells? Whether it's the dander or whether they peed in the house or whether it's a litter box, we've got a lot of talking about that kind of odor.
And we'll have your smoking hot deal right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and at 505 East Main Street in Yukon on Route 66.
Are you ready for the smoking hot deal?
I'm ready for the smoking hot deal.
Okay. Now, this is a brand new listing. In fact, let me see if this is in Multilist active. Yes, it got activated last night. So it's 6901 Chelsea Lane in River Bend Estates. Now, this is not a very old house. I mean, it was built in 2013, and it's about 2150 square feet. It is a beautiful pool in the backyard.
Yep.
Beautiful pool. And the inside's pretty neutral. The floors are the, like, tile?
It's a wood-looking tile. Yep.
Oh, wow. Does look like wood, and I can usually tell the difference. So, anyway, this is listed at 325, right?
Yep, three bedroom, two bath, plus a study.
Okay.
And split floor plan. So the master's on one side, the two bedrooms on the other. Then they have a bathroom between the spare bedrooms and the master bathroom. Spacious. It goes into a large closet. It is a it's a wonderfully built house. It's in just fantastic shape. And the backyard, though, is a true oasis. Opens up to an open field behind them. Sunsets back there are spectacular.
So go to BeckyIvins.com and look for your own smoking hot deal. I love this one. Of course, I love Riverbend.
Yeah.
I've sold Riverbend since it was developed. And it's a great, great neighborhood.
And this is a Ron James built house.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, you should put that in the multi-list. It's not in there. That's a big plus.
Yeah.
Huge.
Wonderful builder.
Yeah. So, okay. And the pool and the covered patio, it's just delightful back there. Are you going to open that up for an open house at some point and say, bring your swimsuits and I'll bring the lemonade?
That sounds like a good open house right there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. We are right around the corner from the 63rd and Meridian Casa Perico's. Too bad they don't open at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning because we'd be going and getting us a taco. So, okay. We are here with Tim Fain from Exceptional. You did change the name of your company.
Floor Cleaning.
Floor
ExceptionalFloorCleaning.com now is. You can still get to it with ExceptionalCarpetCleaning.com, but ExceptionalFloorCleaning.com is officially what we'll be going to. We just do so much more than carpet these days that we had to change it.
Yeah. So we're talking about pet smells, right? On this, what is the biggest pet smell that you have to deal with?
The most common is what we call doggy dander. There's a lot, you know, Labs being one of the most popular dog breeds out there. They have very heavy, oily coats that transfers then off onto the floors, and then that breeds bacteria, and you get this doggy dander smell. I call it a wet dog smell, kind of like when everybody bathes their dog and you get this wet dog smell. That's the lanolin or the oils in their coat that you're starting to smell. Well, some breeds, your slick-haired type dogs, tend to have a lot more oil in them than others, and that oil can have an odor to it, which is, we call a doggy dander smell. And then close second to that is pet urine. Small dogs in particularly have small bladders, and if they're not left outside, let outside often enough, or trained, you know, well enough, then, or they get older, they have some accidents inside, and there's ways to, you know, to fix that. But when it goes undetected or untouched for long enough, then it creates a food source for bacteria to grow. And what you're usually smelling when there's an odor is it's bacteria growth. Most things really don't have a bad odor until bacteria starts to grow, and then that's an issue.
Wow. That's unpacking quite a lot right there.
That's kind of like I tell people, you can perspire on your face, and the wind blows on your face and flashes it off, and it, you know, doesn't stay damp or moist on your face, but in an armpit, where it's dark and, you know, there's no airflow and it can't, then all of a sudden you start to have a body odor that comes from it. It's not because you have a different perspiration that comes out of your armpit than comes off of your face. It's that you're creating an environment for bacteria to grow. And in that area where bacteria grows, That's what happens. When urine goes down into a carpet, down into the pad or the subfloor and sits in that dark place, particularly when we have high humidity with all the rain we've had, that activates it. Those salts and those oils that stay behind create a perfect food source for bacteria to grow.
How do you know if it's in the subfloor, if it's in the pad or in the floor, and how do you get it out of just not the top layer?
We have five different levels of odor removal that we use to fit the budget and fit the situation. Level five, we use a black light. We use a urine probe to detect where the moisture is and where it's hiding and how big that area is. And we actually heat up enzymes, oxygen, odor pairing agents, this whole cocktail, and we heat it up above 200 degrees to activate it, pour it into the carpet, let it soak down into the subfloor, down through the pad and the subfloor, give it 30 to 45 minutes, depending on if it's dog or cat. And then we use a flood extraction tool to suck all that old urine out, because we have to remove the source of the odor before we can destroy the odor.
Now, I've got to ask you, how did you learn all this? I don't think the neighborhood Beamer Steamer knows this.
I've attended classes from Jump Street to become a master textile cleaner, one of two certified cleaners in the entire state of Oklahoma. And I wanted to be the best at what I did. So I went to classes. It takes about 8.5 years if you do it on a fast pace to be able to accomplish that. And I flew all over the country, took odor control classes, and passed the test to get certified in all these different things. So, but education's important to me. I think my customers deserve the very best.
So there you go. That's that's it. If you want to contact Tim, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on the tab that says Becky's Favorites, and you're going to find a link to Tim's website there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Goes straight to his Facebook page. Okay. And I would encourage you, if you have not seen the videos of him cleaning, and like he just showed us a video during the break that shows streak marks across tile that you had just scrubbed. What were you using to scrub on that video?
It was our tile cleaner. That's the high pressure, 1,300 pounds per square inch at 235 degrees. We had to put an emulsifier down to remove rejuvenate that they had put on the floor and took it off.
So if you want to reach out and you have a floor care need, it is Exceptional Carpet Cleaner. You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and he's right there. And if you have a question that was not answered, do it. Just give him a call or give us a call. Our office number is 405-722-3232.
That's it. We appreciate you guys tuning in. I hope you learned something today. And a little goodbye to my sister-in-law, Ann, who's on the road. Let Jim Ivins sing us out.
And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.